We've come to the 18th chapter of John, and this morning we'd like to take a look at verse 33. Tonight we'll be studying the 18th chapter. This morning, verse 33. Jesus has been arrested. He was tried before the high priest. They have brought him to Pilate, the Roman governor, because they want a sentence of death by crucifixion. Among the charges that they have made against Jesus is insurrection against Rome. They say that he has declared himself to be the king of the Jews, and as such would be in insurrection against the Roman government. So as Pilate begins his interrogation of Jesus, his first question is, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Way back 1,000 years earlier, God had made a covenant with David, that God would establish David upon the throne, and that there would never cease to be, sitting on the throne, a seed of David, one of his descendants. And David properly understood this, that God had promised that through David, the Messiah, the eternal king, would come. And thus the Messiah would be of the seed of David. Now, when Solomon took the throne, God made a conditional promise to Solomon. In 1 Kings 9:4, God said, "If you will walk before me as David your father walked, in the integrity of heart, and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and if you will keep my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, even as I promised to David your father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel." God's promise to David was unconditional. It was just a covenant that God made with David. With Solomon, it was a conditional promise. It was conditioned upon Solomon walking in the ways of the Lord and keeping the law and the statutes of God. Now, Solomon failed to keep his part of the bargain. In the later years, Solomon turned away from God. He began to worship and serve the gods of the wives that he had married. And in turning away from God, he broke the covenant with God so that the Messiah did not come through Solomon. Though it came through the Messiah came through David, not through Solomon, because with Solomon it was conditioned upon Solomon's obedience. So as Luke's gospel gives us the genealogy of Mary, it is interesting to note that the lineage does not run to David through Solomon, but it actually comes through another son of David named Nathan. And Solomon was cut off from being a part of the lineage of the Messiah. God had promised a king, a seed of David, king of the Jews. More than that, the king over all the earth who would reign forever. Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet prophesied, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So Isaiah predicted that this king, through David, would be upon the throne forever. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." And then in Jeremiah 33:17, "For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel." There will always be a descendant of David, forever, this eternal king. The prophet Micah, in prophesying concerning the king, said, "And thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Now, we know that today there is no king of the Jews. There is no king in Israel. And we know that this has been the case for 2,500 years. Ever since the Babylonians came and conquered Israel and took them captive, from the time of King Zedekiah to the present day, there has not been a king over Israel. The monarchy ended with Zedekiah. And yet the promise of God was that there would never cease to be a descendant of David sitting upon the throne. Did the promise of God fail? As Paul, asking questions such as that, responded to his own question, "God forbid." No, the promises of God have not failed. The promise of God to David was that the eternal king would be of David's lineage, his descendant. And it is fulfilled and shall be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So when Pilate said, "Are you a king of the Jews?" it was sort of a difficult question to just answer, because it is sort of a yes and no. I am, and yet that's not my purpose at this time. I will come and I will reign not only over the Jews but over the earth. So it's a difficult question to give a direct answer. And so Jesus didn't give it to him a direct answer immediately, but he asked Pilate the question, "Do you ask this of yourself, or have others told you?" Do you really want to know? Are you really curious? Do you want the answer? Or are you just repeating something that someone has told you? Or is it just a, you know, something that you want to ask for an argument or whatever? You see, there are honest questions and there are dishonest questions. There are many questions that are asked, and the whole intention is just to provoke an argument. You know, they really don't want an answer to their question. They want you to state your position so that they can then argue with your position and challenge it. "How were you baptized?" is one of those kind of questions that are asked to create an argument. You see, there is a sect that is known as Jesus Only. And they believe in baptizing in the name of Jesus only. And they say that if you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it isn't a valid baptism. That the only legitimate baptism is in the name of Jesus only. And so they'll come and they'll question and they'll say, well, how are you baptized? And the whole issue is that they might provoke an argument, that they might point out their scriptures, their proof texts that show that, you know, you should have been baptized in the name of Jesus only and not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they've got their whole argument. But it's questions that are only intended to provoke an argument. They're not really looking for an answer. So when I baptize you, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So all bases are covered. If they should ask you, you know, the bases are covered. It's just to save you an argument in the future. And so Jesus said, do you ask this of yourself or have others told you? And Pilate said, am I a Jew? Now, it's interesting how that they are neither one answering the other's question. And this is often something that is used when you don't want to answer the question directly. You answer the question with a question. In other words, you don't want to make a direct answer, so you ask a question. For instance, someone says, well, do you believe that there is any cause for a person to get an abortion? And so if you don't want to answer that directly, you can just say, well, why do you ask me? And you see it throws off a direct answer, but you put them on the defensive. Now, why do you want to know? You're looking for an argument or something, you know, why do you ask me? And so this is pretty much what's going on between Jesus and Pilate, sort of a little kind of a pairing here at the beginning. So then Jesus answered the question of Pilate. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. In his first coming, he did not come to reign over the world. He came to give his life as a ransom for the world. He will come again as king. But his first coming was not to fulfill the prophecies of the king. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants have fought so that I would not be delivered up to you. There'd be a war going on right now. When they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter drew his sword and began to swing away, Jesus said to Peter, put away your sword, Peter. Don't you realize that at this moment, if I so desired, I could call 12 legions of angels to deliver me? I don't need your help, Peter. I've got divine help available. All I have to do is call upon them and they'll come and deliver me. But the cup that the Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it? And so Jesus is saying to Pilate, yes, I am a king. Yes, I have a kingdom. But the kingdom is not of this world. It's of another world, another dimension, another sphere. Pilate then said, are you then a king? And Jesus answered, you said it. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear the witness of the truth. Yes, I am a king. That's why I was born. I was born a king. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it in justice and in judgment from henceforth even forever. Yes, to this end was I born. This is the reason why I came into the world, that I might rule and reign in the hearts of men and women, that I might establish my kingdom in their hearts, in their lives, that I might bear witness of the truth of the kingdom of God. Pilate then asked, "What is truth?" I believe that Pilate's question now was quite cynical. What is truth? You see, this is the time when the age of philosophy had almost died. It was in its final throes, rapidly dying. For hundreds of years, the Greek philosophers had sought to discover truth. And now they were finally despairing of finding truth. They had given up their quest. They had come to the conclusion that universal truth did not exist. That everything was relative. Truth was relative. It's relative to your own opinion and to your own ideas and to your own background. So that what may be truth to you may not be truth to me or someone else. It's all existential. And so Pilate cynically just said, "What is truth?" He didn't wait for an answer. He didn't believe there was an answer. He just turned and he went out to face the Jews who were in the outer court to tell them that he was going to release the prisoner because he didn't find any fault in him. But Jesus had earlier said to his disciples, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus said, "I came to bear witness of the truth. I came to share the truth." And what are the truths that Jesus shared? In the Bible, there is this word, verily. And the word verily means truly. So throughout the Gospel of John records Jesus saying, "Verily, verily." The double repetition of the word is for emphasis. It is as though he is saying, "Now this is the truth." It's emphasizing, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you." And as we look at the Gospel of John, at some of these truths to which Jesus bore witness, in the third chapter, as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, "Verily, verily, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Yes, there is a kingdom, the kingdom of God. But you've got to be born again to see it, to know it, to understand it. John 5:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I tell you the truth, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me will have everlasting life." That's God's gospel truth. John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." It's sort of like Jesus said, "Listen carefully, I'm declaring you God's truth. If you believe in me, you will have everlasting life." John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits a sin is a servant of sin. If you're living in sin, you are not a part of the kingdom of God. If you're living a life of sin, you're a servant, you're a slave to sin. You're in the kingdom of darkness." John 8:51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death." That is spiritual death, the second death in the Bible, which is separation from God. You'll never be separated from God. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am the eternal existent God. I existed before Abraham ever existed. Before Abraham was, I am. John 10:1, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. A person trying to get into heaven, get into the kingdom of God without coming through the door, trying to get in some other way, is like a thief or a robber. If you're trying by your good works to please God and to atone for your evil, if you are trying by being religious, if you're trying by sort of rethinking, you're never going to make it. There's only one door into the kingdom of God, and that's Jesus Christ. For he said in John 10:7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." These are the truths that Jesus came to bear witness of. The truth of the kingdom of God that shall abide forever. The truth that God will rule and reign in the hearts and lives of those who will submit to him. The truth that God is inviting men and women to come into the kingdom of God. When Paul the Apostle was on the road to Damascus to imprison those that called upon the name of Jesus, he had an encounter where he met Jesus. And as Jesus talked to Paul as he was lying there on the ground, he said, "Paul, I'm calling you to go to the Gentiles, to open up their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive the forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance with those who believe in Jesus. Calling you, Paul. People are in darkness. They need to know the light. People are living in the power of Satan. They need to know the stronger power of God. People's eyes are blinded by Satan to the truth. I want you to open their eyes that they might see the truth." The truth is that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord, submitted to him as King, that you are living in the kingdom of darkness. You're blinded to the truth, and you're being held as a captive by Satan. You are living in sin, which is in the process of destroying you, and you have no hope for eternal life, but only that fearful, certain looking forward to the fiery indignation of God's judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. We are living in very momentous days. Jesus said that, yes, he was the King. He is going to come and to sit upon the throne of David as is promised. He is going to reign over the earth. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. For he shall reign forever and ever. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah. Events in the world today are all building up and leading to the return of Jesus Christ. We've been shocked with the rest of the world at the assassination of Rabin. Just what the full implications of the assassination are, we do not yet know, but it shall be revealed in the weeks and months ahead. But once again, God has focused our attention on the Middle East. And we realize that the issues that they are facing are far from resolved. And we do know that that is going to be the center of world conflict. And what we don't know is if this is leading into it, that we will discover in the weeks to come. But we realize that it could very well bring a radical change. There is a possibility that the peace processes will be railroaded. There is the possibility that the Likud will call for a general election, and if they get in power, they will no doubt set aside many of the agreements that have been made by Rabin. Rabin, though he is called the man of peace by the media, there are many Israelis who feel that he has sacrificed the national security and has sold the nation out in his agreements that he has made with the PLO. And thus Israel is very strongly divided at the present moment, and their future is uncertain as far as looking at it from the human standpoint, but God has the thing all mapped out. And the king is coming who will reign in righteousness, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The big issue is he your king? Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? He was more than that, and so he didn't answer it directly. But the question is he your king? Have you submitted your life to Jesus Christ as king? Is he the Lord of your life? Have you kissed his scepter, pledging your allegiance and love to him? If not, why not? What's keeping you back? What hope do you have in this world today? What is it of the world that so attracts you and is so alluring to you that you are willing to sacrifice your eternal life to hang on to it? What does the world hold for you that is so valuable to you that you're willing to give up the kingdom of God in order to hang on? As Jesus asked, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world but lost your own soul? Is he the king of your life? Truly. That's something we all need to ask ourselves today. And I think of the words of that song, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. lead me to Calvary. The King who loved you so much, he gave his life that you might become a part of his kingdom. Will you receive him as King? Shall we pray? Father, speak to our hearts today. In a world that is filled with uncertainty, we realize, Lord, that tomorrow we could be plunged into that final conflict. Lord, we see the uncertainty of governments of man. How that in a moment things can be radically changed. Lord, in these uncertain times, may we know the certainty of your word and have that certainty of hope. Because Jesus Christ is Lord and King of our lives. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? If you have not as yet surrendered to Jesus as King, then I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room as we're dismissed. And pastors and counselors will be back there to pray with you. And you can have a solid anchor in a drifting world. Just where the world is drifting, we don't know. The uncertainty of the future. Yeltsin, boy, you see him, he doesn't look so good. And we know that waiting in the wings is this radical fellow who has threatened to invade Israel and the rest of the world. Living in uncertain, perilous times, I'll tell you what, it's good to be anchored to something that isn't going to move. I'm so glad that I can confess and declare to you that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. He's my King, and he's going to reign forever and ever. And I'm going to live and reign with him forever and ever, according to his promise in Revelation. But you too can share in that hope.